I'm Austin.
I'm Jordan Cale.
And this is Worse Than You Can't Be Singing. I'm Austin.
And I'm Bess.
And you're watching Disney Channel. See, I get the last laugh, not you. I'm Austin.
And I'm Bess.
And this is Worse Than You Remember,
the podcast where we watch all of your favorite childhood movies and tell you why they're definitely worse,
or sometimes better,
than you remember. We should do this whole podcast as Natasha and what's her name? Brittany. I just kept calling her Danielle in my notes because I could not remember her name.
The good Panabaker.
The good Panabaker.
Yeah.
She was always my favorite Panabaker. I didn't give a shit about her sister.
Yeah, she's the better Panabaker.
Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome back.
Hi, welcome back.
I don't like doing formal intros. It seems so fucking weird. I like just jumping right into it and not putting you at ease at all.
So the movie starts and we're right?
Well, to be fair, the movie does start goes right in true Disney Channel fashion.
Yes, but then it pulls it back.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like they throw you in with the credits, which is like always a little jarring. But it's kind of cute because they do it over like teen magazines.
Which looked like a PowerPoint presentation with like a bunch of clip art.
Yes, and fully it did.
My very first note is just these graphics in all caps.
I know.
And then second note is, why do I know all the lyrics to this song by heart?
Which song was this?
I was singing along. It's the opening one. And I think it's the on top of the world. I'm never going to come down. I could stay forever. Yeah. See, I know. I know the word. Why do I know all the words?
I don't know, but we'll get to all the songs I knew all the words to, and I was confused how I knew the words because it comes later for me. I wasn't up there with this one, but it comes up.
Oh, this was one of my, by the way, the movie we're reviewing is Stuck in the Suburbs.
Yeah,
just
today we're talking about Stuck in the Suburbs.
We just were so excited. We're just jumping straight in.
I'm very excited.
It started as a joke, and then we just really just went into it. But much like this podcast, I think this is probably in my top three favorite Disney Channel movies of all time. Fun fact. I loved this when I was
a kid.
Very,
yeah. Yeah.
It's it very was a, me energy, right?
It is very you energy. It's very you, fashion.
Oh, that is so mean.
Yeah.
The fashion in this though is like better than Wizards of Waverly Place. I will say that. That's the only one I can think of fashion-wise.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I was fine with it. So, like, okay, at one point she was wearing a crop top and then a denim jacket. She's on trend for 2020.
Honestly, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, if you weren't wearing those jeans, you could wear that now.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I loved that outfit. I thought it was cute. And I think I even wrote, I'm like, don't worry, in like 15 years, you're going to be so hot. But like,
yeah,
it's fine.
That crop top wasn't cropped enough, but other than that, it was
It
fine.
Wasn't. They were making like a big show of like how it was showing her stomach. And I was like, this is so PG. It's not even funny. Everyone can calm down.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, we're reviewing Stuck in the Suburbs. This is a Disney Channel original movie from 2004 with Brenda Song, Danielle Panabaker, and Taryn Killam, of all people.
What a cast. What a lineup.
I realize, though, that this is like right when he probably broke away from Nickelodeon. So this was probably a really big deal for him.
Probably.
Because on Nickelodeon, he always played the guy on Drake and Josh and stuff where he was like special a little bit. And he played like dumb roles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he was like, oh, my God, the chance to really act. Who knew?
He saw the script and, you know, it called out to him.
He originally went out for Brenda's character, but then he was like, Jordan's fine. Brenda's character's the only good character.
Brenda's character, Natasha, is a queen.
She's everything. I wish I had 50% of her self-confidence when they're like in eighth grade. They're 14. Ridiculous.
I would take 10%. She did nothing wrong this entire movie, and I stand behind that.
Totally agree. Did you also hate our main character? Another fun segment that we keep coming back to.
I did not hate her until the end when you're supposed to hate her.
Yeah, the fight scene.
Yes, but she wasn't as good as Natasha.
I don't know. It's like if the roles were reversed, I think I also just like Brenda Song more as a person and as an actress. So I wonder if like the roles were reversed, if I would have cared about the main character more.
Maybe.
Because the entire time I felt like I kept writing down, you fake ass bitch. Like, you have nothing to gain here, but also, like, Natasha has nothing to lose. Like, if she was lying about her past, who cares? No one's ever going to meet anyone else in her family because she's a side character. And in Disney Channel original movies, side characters just don't have parents.
That's true. Facts. Or only one. We only get to meet one. Even if they have both, yeah, we only have to meet one.
Yeah.
And she knows that rule.
She's like, no one will ever meet my dad. It's fine. Yeah. So the basic plot of this movie is a girl gets a hold of her favorite pop star's cell phone, and it really delves into the craziness that comes along with being a teenage fangirl. So I think it's only appropriate that Austin and I divulge a little bit of what band we were like this with when we were 15, 16.
We have not even started talking about the movie yet.
Yeah, but this is way more interesting.
Yeah, but we have... I have a point in here where I'm like, this is where we're talking about.
All right, fine. Then lead the conversation.
Okay.
Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
There's an establishing shot.
Crazy.
Shut up.
No. I'm being serious. I'm being serious. We never get that.
We don't. And it's the nice suburbs. All the houses are very much the same, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. We pull up to the minivan. And we start there, and it's the four girls, and they're all soccer players, and they're white, and it's fabulous.
The redhead looks like she's 9.
Yes,
I literally was
true.
Like, why is the redhead here? Also, that is like the shittiest friend. I was like, please dump her. You don't need her. She's literally an elf. And now that I think about it, was she in the Santa Claus? Did she play an elf? Is that why she looks so familiar and annoying?
I don't know.
I'm going to look this up. Go ahead and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
This is going great. Moving on to the start of the movie.
Yes.
The shoe moment was so hard to watch.
It was so hard. Did you also write down, like, do you not have online shopping? Was that pre-Amazon?
Yes, it was pre-Amazon. This was 2004. This was pre-Google.
This was not pre-Google.
Yes, it was.
Oh, wait, yeah, because they make a big deal about the fact that the phone has, like, internet access. And I was like, girl.
No, I didn't care about the online shopping. Just having to look at those ugly-ass shoes was the hard part. She says they're one of a kind, which, no, they're not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who do you think you are that, like, you have one of a kind shoes?
And then we find out later that... obviously, they're not, because they come in multiple colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure she just got them from, like, a Foot Locker that happened to be in New York.
Her aunt just, like, went into a Macy's and she's like, oh, this looks girly.
Oh,
she'll
this
like
is
that.
Cute. Brittany will love this. I'll just send these to Brittany and she will just die for them.
I also love how they talk about New York like it's like Paris or something like that. I'm like, listen. It's dirty, and you can get everything there that you can get pretty much in any other major city.
Yeah,
aside, like, from the pizza, like, but
being stuck in a suburb specifically is like, it's just like a suburb implies that it's outside of a city, right? Like a big city.
Yeah,
you don't have suburbs of like small towns. I don't know, like, of any suburbs that are like less than like 30 minutes to an hour from a big town.
Chicago. Every time we visit Liam's parents, it takes like an hour and a half to get into the city.
Even still, an hour and a half. We once drove 6 hours to Chicago. We'll get there. They do a real quick thing where they pull up to the wrong house.
Yeah.
Because all houses look the same. And I thought that was a really cute. It's like, it's a cute little smart signal that, like, oh, we're in the suburbs. All the houses look the same. I thought it was really good writing.
No, it was too. It felt more educated for a DCOM.
Yeah. It didn't, like, beat you over the head with like, all these houses look the same. It's hard to tell which one is yours. Like that's an obvious line.
Yeah.
It would have been fine, whatever. But, like, they do it in a fun way. They tell a little joke with it, and I thought it was cute.
No, it was a really good moment. They get to the right house, and, of course, Jordan Cahill's new music video is about to premiere, so they storm inside, turn on the TV, and immediately start doing all the choreography for a music video that is premiering. At that moment,
they knew it.
I just wrote the choreo in all caps because I was like, first of all, it's just a grapevine. Like, all they're doing is just going from side to side, throwing a clap in. It was really embarrassing. But at the same time, I was like, this is
triggering, realistic.
But here's the thing, is like, that's 100% what girls do. Like, Do you know the amount of times that Avery and I would be like, do you want to learn a dance, Marshall dance? And we would just like do it.
Yeah.
Because and we're 24, 25. Like, this is embarrassing. But that's like 100%. But like, I think it's cute because like, it's just 100% part of like girl
feels
culture.
Feels so realistic. Absolutely.
Feels like, realistic. Was awkward, but feels realistic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know that they still had these kind of shows when we were like in 2004.
Do we have TRL? I feel like I remember watching something akin to TRL.
Maybe. I don't remember it still being
Hold on. Sex and the City had TRL. That was like, what, 2001, 2002? So, yeah, I think it was on its way out.
Maybe it was.
Nickelodeon definitely had something like this. They definitely did. Mm.
But then we watched their terrible dance. It's horrible to look at.
Oh, it's awful.
Monstrous and makes my brain bleed and
the
all
whitest
that.
Thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Absolutely. When they do the dance later with Brenda with them and she just eating them all up because she is 10 times better and has 10 times more rhythm. Embarrassing. Truly.
I truly feel like Brenda went out for the lead in this and then she didn't get it and she was like, I don't care. I'm gonna wipe the floor with these bitches. Yep. And that's what she did.
She ate them.
Can we talk about how in the music video that they're watching, though, the girl who's dressed up like a fairy for some reason looks so uncomfortable the whole time.
It's all so uncomfortable.
I was watching her face and like every time Taryn Killam like looked at her or like touched her, she would like cower away from him. And I was like, is this like a hostage scenario?
Yes.
Are they making you do this?
Yes.
Are you okay?
No.
They also had at one point the camera just went like in and out, in and out, in and out. And it like and I was like, I am nauseous. What was that? They had so many like quick zooms and stuff, and I was like, oh, we haven't graduated from this yet. Ooh.
No, this was music. This was music.
As a person who makes art, that hurt me. That hurt me real bad. Some people got paid more than I've ever been paid in my whole ass life to make that music video. Just that one scene. And that made me so mad.
That's like so true.
Thank you.
It's so real.
See, when people get mad at me for like criticizing, like a Disney Channel original movie is totally different. But when people get mad at me for criticizing like the cinematography and stuff in like big budget movies, I'm like, no, no, no. These people got paid tens of thousands of dollars and they couldn't do it correctly.
And
that's bullshit.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. They end the dance by flipping over the couch. I want to talk about that real quick because I was so mad.
Why were you mad?
Cleats on the couch?
Have you ever worn cleats in your life?
Cleats on the couch. Yes, I played soccer till I was 10 because my mother made me.
No, when they knocked over the couch, I was like, why would you do that? That is so mean. I think that's also me coming from the fact that like every piece of furniture my parents ever bought was like expensive as shit.
Yeah.
So if I ever did that, I would sleep outside.
That's what like, I'm saying. This is what I'm saying is like, you can't, they had clearly practiced this. Like they did unison.
Yeah.
That couch has been knocked over before. And I'm
like
holy
at least 30
shit.
Times.
You are going to break this motherfucking couch. That is where your family sits.
I bet
that
it was the redhead's idea.
That is where the guests will sleep. Like, it was fucking crazy to me. I was like, you can't do that to a fucking couch.
It's like, you know, like, you and I have relatively good relationships with our parents. So it's like, when people are, like, being really entitled or something like that and, like, being really rude to them and you and I are just kind of like, ah, why would you do that? Why would have respect like in real life when people do that in real life and you're just kind of like, ooh, like that's the same kind of feeling that I felt watching them do that.
Hurt me. Physically wounded me.
Physically wounded? We're like 6 minutes into the movie at this point. So if you're already physically wounded, that's pretty sad.
I know. But it gets better. The movie heals me.
It gets better. Hashtag it gets better.
It does. We meet fucking Jessie. She's a nerd. That's cool. Don't know why we needed her.
Pretty much every time Jessie is on screen, I was like, Jessie needs to get dicked. Like, what's happening? Why are you like this?
Literally, like, I wrote, Jessie is a fucking nerd. Why is she here? Because, like, I'm instantly like, why are you in this movie? I don't, like, this is such a waste of space.
Yeah, because she had the brother, and the brother actually, like, contributed to the plot, and he was, like, invested in the same things that she was invested in. I understood his role. Jessie was, I guess, just there to provide contrast? I don't know. I also love how we were supposed to know, like, ooh, she's the smart, serious sister. Mm-mm. She's wearing glasses. That's it.
Her hair has no volume.
She didn't try at all.
She didn't even bother to put mousse in her hair.
I liked how there's like a random moment after the music video where the brother's like in his room and he's playing on a Game Boy. And I was like, this is a nice touch. It was a nice touch. That's the first thing I ever bought with my own money was a Game Boy Advance SP.
Really?
Yes. I saved up $100 and I bought myself a Game Boy.
That's really
I was really proud. And then we go into Britney's room.
Yes.
And she's singing this stupid song that's like, the door is closed on my dreams.
The closed door.
The most overdramatic piece of shit I've ever heard in my life.
But here's the thing. What I appreciated about her is her mom is like worried for her, right? Her mom is like, I don't know what I'm more upset about. That you didn't do your homework or that you're really suicidally depressed.
I know. I was like, I love that this is something that you're really like invested in. I love that you're invested in your child's emotional health. But I do want to backtrack for a second and talk about how she's like writing this song and she's like going over these lyrics and she's like, the door is closed. And she's like, the door is closed on. And she, like, it's like Proust or something. Like,
she comes up with the line, the door is closed on. And then later on, the mom is reading lyrics, and earlier in the song, she had written down, the door is closed on my dreams and blah, 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 or whatever else. Like, she had already written, the door is closed on, and she couldn't come up with, the door is closed on, like, a line later in the song. She's not a good songstress.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. She's no Jordan Cahill, like that's for sure.
That's for damn sure.
And then also just really quickly, this was so fucking stupid. I had to write it down. Her mom comes in and she's like, what are you doing? She's like, geography. She's like, I'm learning about the Beyonce Amendment. And I was like, this is the laziest piece of writing I've seen in a while, honey. Oh, my God.
I thought it was funny.
I just wrote Beyonce Amendment in all caps in my notes because I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, me too. But I appreciated that Britney was like, God, mom, it's not a big deal. Haven't you ever heard of teen angst? Like, she's like, even, she's a little self-aware that it's dramatic.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, like, she's like, that's no, like, I'm writing a dramatic song. I'm a teenager, mom. Duh.
That's like the only point in the movie, though, where she's aware that what she's doing is dramatic.
Fair.
She gets a call on both her landline and her cell phone. And I was transported because I was like, remember when having a landline in your room was like a big deal?
Yeah.
Before we had iPhones and before we had like cell phones.
So bad.
Yeah. I did too. I had like the family phone in my room, but I didn't have like my own line.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have my own line. We only ever had the one.
Yeah. And her friends tell her that Jordan, for some fucking reason, is coming to their small ass town where nothing ever happens.
I wrote, Jordan is not coming to town. He's just not. You may be saying he is, but he's not.
I know. That's something about this movie. It's like think about like a multi-platinum recording artist leaving LA for any reason, first of all. Second of all, leaving LA to go film a music video where all the creative people are and going to like the middle of Ohio. Like, why would you do that?
It didn't make any sense. And I was like, for that fountain that you splashed in, you could build a better fountain in a day.
Yes, absolutely.
I've seen the Property Brothers do it.
Also, like, it's so fiscally irresponsible. They stay in that town for like weeks.
Weeks.
They stay for so long. So much happens. And I know that because there are so many outfit changes.
Yeah.
It's multiple days.
Like, there's ways to do this, right? Like, where it makes sense. Because they even almost get it. Because they're like, you know, this is where this is where I got my start. And they're like, you grew up here?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't. But a town just like it. And I'm like, you would go to that town then if you wanted to record in a small town. Should have just been from that town.
Yes, no, when they were in the car and they were talking about that, I was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. Like, he's from here, he's here to see his family, etc. And then, nope.
That was going to be my big Austin rewrites the movie, is he, you know, wanted to film it in his hometown because he wanted to get back to his roots and all this stuff. And like,
and that connects with what he ends up doing later on in the movie.
And she would have related to it because she would have been like, wow, I didn't know someone from here could become famous. Like, yes.
I also would have been really excited if they tied in, like, he remembered Ashbrook House or something, and he wanted to be mm-hmm. at the benefit because it, like, had meant something to him in his childhood or something. Yes. There was that opportunity to really bring the whole thing together.
That's where he took music lessons. That's where he learned to play the guitar.
Yes, Austin. God, are you a writer? That's so awesome.
Yeah. There is another option for how he could have come to town. And this is one that maybe we can find a little bit more relatable. He could have come to town because they won a contest for them to come to town. Much like a contest that we once participated in.
Actively.
Did not win, but should have.
But we lit up the side of a hotel.
We lit up the side of a hotel. Okay.
Oh my God.
So this
time
is
for
the
embarrassing part of the podcast.
Where we do have to acknowledge that this movie was triggering.
It was about us, truly. Austin was Natasha. I was Brittany.
Bess and I had a brief,
it was 3 years,
casual
3 years
infatuation, maybe interest in a certain British boy band type situation. I'd say that describes it pretty well, wouldn't you?
As much as I would love for that to be accurate, no, we were like heavily involved with the One Direction fandom. Oh my God, yeah. So many stories are coming to my head right now. But Austin got into it before I did. He came over to my house one day in the summer and stayed there for 8 hours showing me X Factor videos and interviews and teaching me all about Larry Stylinson.
Oh, we didn't need to bring that up.
Oh, well, that's a part of it, so we should bring it up. But no, okay. And then when they were on their first tour, we would be on Tumblr with the rest of the fandom looking for, like, moments that were happening between Harry and Louis and, like,
we
secret.
We can't get that into Larry Stylinson.
No, but, like, that's what drew us into the fandom.
I know, but we can't say that. That's not important to this story.
Why is it not?
Because it's not okay to ship real people who aren't dating anymore.
Okay, all right, fine, but anymore. The fact that you just said anymore.
It's gauche now.
All right, fine. Well, then let's talk about how when we were on Tumblr during their tour, we were genuinely afraid that someone under the name of Mr. X was going to go to Madison Square Garden and try to assassinate One Direction.
That was second tour, though. That was second tour?
Okay, yeah.
Because that was their arena tour.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but yeah. That was a real thing that we were all worried about.
Yeah. No, we were deep in it. Like the cell phone web that was featured in this movie was like us to the, it was us a fraction of what we participated in.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's the next day. Brittany gets left at home while everyone's leaving in the morning. It's very sad. Total middle child syndrome. And everyone, all her friends tell her that they're getting the same shoes as her. It's heartbreaking and awkward.
Yes. And this is when, after her friends say that they're all getting the same shoes as her, we get an entrance that only Brenda Song deserves.
Shut it down. She shut that room down. All eyes were on her.
Everything about her look was good. Everything.
Oh, perfect. Head to toe. No notes.
Absolutely. I just wrote, command that school, honey. Command it. I was so proud of her.
And she is just like, making that first impression. She's not even like being bitchy, but like, you're like, damn, she just said that when she's talking to them. And she's like, oh, I'll have to make a note that ponytails are back in.
That was like, because like, she's being like nice about it. But at the same time, she's like, y'all are stupid.
Yeah, like she's implying that she's going to put a ponytail in, like she's being nice about it. But really she's like, oh, interesting. And then Danielle takes her ponytail out and like shakes her hair.
The beginning of her sexual awakening.
I was like, yeah, first of all, yes. Second of all, I was like, sweetie, you have ponytail face. I'm so sorry. You need to put that back.
See, I actually just wrote, what a fake ass hoe. That's my real note.
See, here's the thing. Yes, she is being a little bit fake. But like, I don't know. Part of me also just, I felt for her. I related to this.
Because she's character. 14. She's a 14-year-old girl.
Exactly. And she's meeting someone cool who she likes and she wants to be like them. Mm-hmm. And like, when you're still figuring out who you are and you find someone that you like and you want to be like, I can't really be mad that you like change your look like to be like theirs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, also, like, that's something that, like, just best friends do in general. Like, I, you know, because, like, you are a product of, like, the five people you surround yourself with or whatever. And so, like, girls, obviously, like, we're going to get dressed together and do our makeup together, like, et cetera. Like, we're surrounding ourselves with people because we like them and we, like, obviously want to be like them. It's, yeah, it's almost like a flattery thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the fact that, like, they both are so young, like, makes this whole plot line like very true and very relatable because we've all been there. Like anyone who's been a human and been through middle school or high school has been there.
Something I found that was like so painfully relatable comes right after this when she brings Natasha home to hang out.
Yes.
And they're about to go to her room and then she's like, actually talk to my mom for a minute because she has to go cleanse her room of anything embarrassing.
Yeah.
And like I have done that full on like 100% when I would have people over or like
what would you hide?
Like I would have hidden like,
because I've been in your room like so many times at this point and I know all of your embarrassing secrets, so I just want to know.
But like at my room back at my parents' house, like obviously like when we were in middle school, I would have run up and like hidden all my like manga books or like anything Pokemon or like toy related or anything like that, which like is not that embarrassing, but in my mind would have been like, oh, I can't let anyone see that I have a toy.
That makes me so sad for you because like that's so much of like, that's just like not in a bad way, but like that's so much of your personality. Like,
yeah, I mean like now I wouldn't do it. Now I've got fucking like comic books and shit all over the walls, but like I don't know, back then I would have been like, no, can't let any of that be seen.
I had a bunch of like memes on my wall and I straight up had One Direction posters on my wall as well because I had like all that stuff everywhere. So I,
by the time I got to high school. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've also never been the kind of person to like hide who I am in any way, shape or form. Almost well, like you've to tried, a fault.
But you're just so goddamn loud.
My notes kind of actually skip to the when they show up to Jordan Cahill's like music video taping, because there's something about this that made me real mad.
OK,
so they're like going around and the director's showing him the choreography, right? They're watching from the sidelines. Everyone's screaming.
Yeah.
This is literally the choreography for Bet On It from High School Musical.
Before Bet On It came out, though.
No, I know. Like, I'm just saying, Kenny Ortega, let's have a chat. Where did you get this inspo? I wrote, like, everyone is, like, all of those girls are, like, literally right behind the cameras, and I said none of y'all would be allowed on this hot set. None of
so
y'all
so dangerous would not be anywhere near that close to him. Like,
yeah,
crazy.
They would have
crazy.
Like, they would have so much space roped off for them to
in
film
in a post 9/11 world. I don't think so. And Jordan throws a fit. He goes backstage, and we have a moment that confuses me in the writing of this movie.
Go for it,
because it just doesn't fit with the tone of anything else they're saying about Jordan, because they have him go backstage and he's like, ooh, I don't like raisins. And like, they have someone pick the raisins out of his like trail mix or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a very diva moment that just doesn't fit with his story for the rest of the thing. And it just was like a dumb, I don't know, it confused me. I didn't like it.
Yeah, because they very much paint him as someone who is trying to keep it real and who isn't trying to pull that kind of shit. I agree, because that moment comes up later when he's in the hair salon and the woman offers him raisins or whatever. So we have that knowledge that like he doesn't like raisins or whatever, but that's the only reason I can see for them leaving it in.
Yeah, like, and that's not even a good payoff.
Absolutely not.
Because that doesn't fit with what they're doing either, because everything else they're doing is to help him, and why would they give him raisins if he doesn't like them?
Yeah, no, and he likes it. Like, he likes everything that they do. But
that's
also
what I'm saying, except for the raisins.
Well, but also, like, they didn't know that everything that they were doing was actually going to help Jordan. That wasn't like their original. Yeah, they did. Well, no, they didn't know for sure.
But that was their intent.
But no, cutting the hair? No, that was just like Natasha being.
Yeah, that was Natasha being like, I don't think he looks good with long hair.
Yeah.
I think he would look better with short hair.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like their intent the whole time was to help. And I feel like Brittany would definitely know that he doesn't like raisins because we knew some shit about fucking Louis and Niall's preferences on food.
Carrots. Every One Direction fan that was listening right now was just triggered.
Shut up. It's okay. At least he's not afraid of spoons, am I right?
Okay, but sorry. Speaking of One Direction.
No.
No, no, no. This entire movie is just a Your Name insert fanfic.
That's really it.
That is all this is, truly.
It fully is. Like,
where's the version of this where Danielle Panabaker gets sold to Jordan Cahill?
Shut up. Oh my god.
I mean, like, I could lie and say that I didn't use to read those, but why would I? Why would I do that? Oh my god. Oh my god. You ever just hate yourself so much?
I hate you pretty often.
My notes skip to when, like, so basically, Brittany and Jordan Cahill's assistant, like, physically collide. And in the, like, scrambling to pick stuff up, they switch phones. And I said,
That's just what happened next.
Yes. But here's my issue. Why couldn't they have had the same phone? The fact that his is like a huge BlackBerry Palm Pilot thing and hers is this little pink fun cell phone. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
This is the thing that I remember thinking even as a child. Like, this is not a logic problem that I'm just now like, that's weird that they didn't have the same phone. I remember thinking as a child, like, why did he grab her pink phone? He has a pink phone sticking out of his bag. At what point does he open his eyes and realize that's not his fucking phone?
This was also before we had iPhones and we were, like, totally addicted to our cell phones. Because every phone looked sort of the same. But also, if I picked up the wrong phone, even if it was, like, me swapping another iPhone, I would know within the first 20 seconds. Because I'd be like, I don't know your passcode. Like, I would know instantly.
Yeah. No, you would never be walking away from the situation. But there's some old other things about how does no one figure it out ahead of time that I want to talk about.
Like, there was one point where...
At no point in these 2 weeks does the parent try to call their child.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Like, because the friends that were fighting, and so I could buy them not calling, but like at some point in the 2 weeks, the parents would not have known where Brittany was or would have like been like, okay, time to come home for dinner. Let's call Brittany. Like, and... Never happens. Like, yeah. No, I'm sorry.
I really agree with that. But also, I don't understand how, like, Jordan himself went this, like, he went, like, at least a week without being like, hey, can I get my phone back or whatever? And I was like, if my phone was actually, like, that important and I went that long without touching it, I would die. Like, if I go 4 hours without looking at my phone, I panic. Well, A, because I think I'm like missing emails or something like that, but also like I just combust because I'm a shitty person and I'm addicted to it. But something I did think was a really good piece of writing was at some point Jordan's assistant can't remember what Jordan's cell phone number is.
Yeah.
And so he can't get in contact with her. And I'm like, that is fucking brilliant. Because same.
I wanna talk about my favorite line in the movie.
Yes.
All right, so the girls, they figure it out kind of pretty quick.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this was his, we know where he's staying, so let's try to take it back to the assistant.
Yeah.
They literally do
honorable.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah.
They do everything right. We would not have given the phone back at all.
Absolutely not. I'd be like, Harry Styles can come here and pry this out of my horny ass hands. Let's go.
Yep. But she walks up to the front desk guy after Brittany's been told no, and she's like trying to talk and like she's gonna talk him into it.
Speaking of, really quick side note, did you notice who the front desk person is?
No.
It was Drew Seeley.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I did not even recognize him. That's so funny.
I thought that was cute. I was like, oh, don't worry, you're gonna get your break soon.
She's like, Kip, can I call you Kip? And he's like, my name's David. And she just gives him this look that's like, I know. And it's just brilliant. It is brilliant acting from Miss Song. It is. It's so good. It was a killer moment, and I wanted to call it out and address it.
While all that is going on, Jesse is in the fucking minivan. She's like, Brittany, we're gonna miss dinner. And I'm like, take a Xanax. What is your problem?
So annoying. She also looks so old.
If you told me that woman was the mom, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, same, fully. So I would like to immediately contradict something I said earlier.
Yes.
Because I ship Jordan and Eddie.
The sexual tension.
I'm just saying.
The way that Taryn Killam looks at Eddie is a crime. It is ridiculous. He's like staring so intently at this man. There is one line earlier that I totally forgot to address, and it's when Natasha and Brittany are like first becoming friends, and she looks at her and she's like, who wants to be a part of everybody, right? And I just wrote the sexual tension. Like, oh, do you remember this line? It was so intense. And I was like, oh my God.
And then Brittany's like, right.
Brittany came. Yeah, Brittany straight up came during that line. But no, I totally agree.
And then immediately after I wrote about their sexual tension, one of them says something about Penelope. And I was like, who the fuck is Penelope? Who the fuck is Penelope? But no, first of all, it's stupid that we talk about her this much and she's not in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. But also, it brought me back to
Eleanor.
It brought me back to Eleanor. And I was like, who the fuck is Eleanor? It felt very funny to me.
Can we talk about my favorite line in the movie?
Yeah.
At some point, it's after they get back from the hotel, but Brittany goes, wow. And my dad won't even let me have Spanish rice because he thinks it's too spicy. And I just wrote at white people.
So next we get to the hair.
Yes.
Which is the big decision that sort of puts this, gets this whole thing rolling.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty fucked up to do.
Welcome to our other segment called You Didn't Know That Was Fucked Up.
But I feel like she did know it was fucked up, which is even funnier.
She 100% knew. She just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, she's like, I think he'd look better. And she's right.
Natasha 100%. Is that controlling girlfriend that you low-key resent, but she's 100% making you a better person, and then you dump her to find someone better, and then you realize that there is no one better than her, but then it's too late.
Yep.
That's who she is.
That's her.
And I just wrote, imagine a world where your haircut is national news.
So funny.
Imagine a world.
But like, that's literally what happened when Harry cut his hair.
I mean,
because it was so long, you remember?
Yeah, I know.
Made in AM, and then
it was hot. It was hot as shit. It's still hot.
It's so good. No matter what length, it's always hot. But like,
yeah, no, he's a beautiful human. When he cut it for Dunkirk,
oh, the news.
I want like a Renaissance painting of him just hanging in my house.
Another one? Is it three enough?
Shut up.
Here's what I want to talk about.
Yes.
Sorry, but I just need to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's something that we like bump up against a lot in Disney stuff. I found the spying little brother thing.
Uh-huh.
It's weird.
It's really weird.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we both have little brothers. My little brother never did this.
Kyle never pulled this shit ever. The fact that I would even, like, he could never be bothered with literally anything I ever did. Because...
Truly.
No, truly. We're such opposite ends of the spectrum. Like...
Yeah, like, it feels so unrealistic to me, but it is so common in Disney stuff.
Like, we would pull pranks on each other, sure. Like, if we had friends over, but that's, like, a whole different thing.
But his, like, entire existence, like, entire being in this movie... is like centered around him spying on her. And it's like, why is this his hobby?
Plot twist. It's like a flowers in the attic situation. And he's actually in love with her because
I'm saying it's creepy.
No, it's super creepy. Also, speaking of creepy. So at some point, obviously, like Jordan and Brittany start talking. But even before that, she thinks that like they are like the same person and they're really relatable to each other. And we get the hint that his birthday is in 82. And I wrote down, what fucking 22-year-old would want anything to do with a 14-year-old? And then I wrote out the TikTok thing where it's like, I smell charges.
This is what I'm fucking saying. I was going to save it till later because I wrote that down too. I wrote, because next we get the brother like being like, what's his birthday? And she's like, 4/1/82. And I wrote it down. I was like, okay, so he's 22.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's believable for a pop star.
Yeah. Also like for what he looks like, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, yeah, we get to it later. I want to talk about it more in depth later because the epilogue, but yeah, it's weird. It's like, why would he be spending his time with the 14-year-old?
Oh, no, absolutely. We need to talk about the epilogue. It's really fucking creepy.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, nothing. We get this whole montage, obviously, where they're like changing his life. They cut his hair. They send him some dogs. They send him his dog. I was wondering that. I was like, are these his or did they just
they mentioned that he misses his dogs. And
oh, that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
But they're doing that.
She starts
wearing updos to school because she's fancy now. And
her
during,
way better.
During this montage, she changes her song from the closed door to the open door. And I just wrote, wow, prolific.
But while she's doing this, she's writing it, right?
Yeah.
And the lyrics are blurred out. We can't see any of them.
Let's talk about this.
Because they were too lazy to just write like 5 lines of a song.
Let's talk about this. Because, okay, so I will do that sometimes. Like, that's what TV shows do when they want to censor stuff. Yeah. And it's so painfully obvious now that I'm like older and I was like looking at it as a person who edits like full time, basically. And I was like, you really couldn't just write like 8 lines of nonsense? She's 14. It doesn't have to be crazy. Like,
no.
And they did it multiple times. It bugged the shit out of me.
Like multiple times in this one montage. It was so annoying.
Yes.
And because I'm like, I know that there's a shot that you can do over her shoulder where you just see the top 2 inches of the thing. And
exactly.
You just see her like.
Yes.
Ugh.
It made me so, so mad. And then after this little montage, we go into like her mom like crying to her dad about how she can't save this house. And then they have this line about how she's like, you know, if only I could get like one of my children to show up. And her dad's basically like, huh, don't bet on it. I was like, why do they hate their mom?
I know.
She hasn't done anything wrong.
She's great.
She's fantastic. She's like,
she's passionate. She's like, very liberal, clearly.
Clearly very liberal, which also, like, maybe Disney was like, no.
Yeah. They were like, what a fucking freak.
What a weirdo. But
what
I
a
was,
fucking freak this mom is. Don't you think she's fucking weird?
It made me...
She cares about fucking whales and houses? What the fuck?
It made me so mad. I was like, you don't deserve this,
no.
Susan. I don't know what her name is, but...
Oh, I just had, like, one thing that I wanted to say before that.
Yeah.
Which was... The management being the villain in this also felt relatable. Management, man.
Oh, my God.
Fuck management.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we had this whole theory that One Direction's management was, like, keeping Louis and Harry from coming out and being themselves. We would do deep dives into, like, the subtext of tweets from their management company, and it would be like so intense. Oh my God, I hate us.
I'm letting you talk about it, but
when people ask
me
what I do with my English degree, I'm gonna be like, let me tell you how I trained for this. Anyway, yeah, no, management being the enemy, I felt like was the only thing that could have happened. It did kind of make me upset that there's like little to no conflict with anyone else in the movie.
Yeah.
Up until that point, because I kind of really wanted her to basically, like, lose all her friends, which is, like, implied, but not really.
We don't really have to deal with it. It doesn't really come up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Either that or, like, I would have died if she meets Jordan and Jordan is, like, fed up with her shit.
That's the thing is, like, they don't interact hardly at all.
No, they don't. Except for the last, like, 20 minutes.
I definitely remembered them being like way more involved when I was talking about it earlier before I watched it. I was talking about it with a friend and I was like, yeah, I think it's about like 2 girls and they like kidnap a pop star or something, or he like runs away and they like hide him. I don't remember, which happens later on a little bit, but it's not the main part of the movie. I totally forgot about this, like, the whole phone thing. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's so weird. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, after this, my notes, like, skip to the fight that Brittany and Natasha have, where they basically, like, she says, like, Natasha, you're so fake. And Natasha's like, well, you just want to be exactly like me. You say nothing ever happens to you, but that's because you're a boring person. She doesn't say that, but that's the subtext. And I just wrote...
Oh, wait, real quick. We'll back up, because we talk about how we get to the fight.
How do we get to the fight?
Brittany promises everyone, she's like... Yeah, I know Jordan Cahill. She tells everyone.
Oh, yeah. Brittany's a slut. Like, she. Yeah. I said that with... No, that's not what I meant. Brittany's just a cunt. There we go. Brittany's a cunt. She is.
No, it's, like, very... it's so hard to watch.
It's so immature and so stupid, but I was like...
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, he's gonna be at the concert for the house. And it's, like, kind of a great plan, like, kind of ingenious. But also, like, he hasn't promised anything yet. Like,
yeah, he doesn't even know about this whole debacle. But also, literally everything that has been done up until this point has been Natasha's idea. Literally everything.
Literally everything. And she's taking all the credit. When it's, like, which is weird, because it's, like, you would think that she would want everyone to know how good friends she was with Natasha.
Yeah, but listen, Natasha's a minority and Brittany's a white person. So obviously she's going to take credit for her work.
Damn, that's a good ass point.
I just thought of that. I'm so smart. But yeah, no, Brittany's just being a cunt and making Natasha look like nothing. And I'm like, none of this was any of your idea. You wanted to give the phone back like a dumbass goody-goody. Literally, Natasha should have been the main character yet again. But that's fine. So Natasha gets really mad at her for it. And they have that big old fight.
That feels very real. It feels very girl fight.
Like, it was the dialogue used in that fight. Like, I was like, finally, like, we have no conflict for the entire movie. And then it all comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. And it was really intense. And I do agree. It felt really relatable. Liam walked in during the scene. And do you want to know what he said?
What?
He said, this is Wendy Wu's origin story.
That's real.
I want Leo to be on the podcast so bad, because I feel like whenever I watch these movies with him, he has such good one-liners, but I don't think he could do like an in-depth discussion. I just wrote, slam her, Brenda. Slam her. Because
slam her.
I was on her side the whole time.
The whole time, because like Brittany says something like, oh, you think you're so cool. And I was just like, yeah, she is cool.
And then she was
she's
like,
so fucking cool.
And then she's like, I only talked to you because I felt sorry for you. And I'm like, you fake ass hoe.
Like, you did not.
Fake ass hoe.
But that also felt very real to me, because I was just like, you're just lying.
She's just lying because she's hurt.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then we get to the first of multiple montages. Of these two girls and the fun times they had together. This is the montage we get of the first half of the movie, of the antics.
No. We did not earn this friendship montage. This montage is showing us things that happened 15 minutes ago in this movie.
Here's the thing, is we get this 15 minute ago montage over a dope Hailey Duff song. Yeah, it was a good song.
Yes.
This was the one where I was like, I know the words to this. I like this.
I know the words to far too many of these songs.
Yeah, same. So we have the freaking whole montage thing, and it's just like, that's when I realized, like, this is a romance between the two of them. Like, this is a romance, and this is like their quirky fun dates that they've been on, and very much that.
I want the updated version of this where they're lesbians.
Yeah, seriously.
And they fall in love over their mutual infatuation with Jordan Cahill.
Mm-hmm.
Disney, are you listening to me, Disney? Our generation needs better leaders. That's all I got.
Here's what I would like to ask. Where do you think this ranks on the acting ability of other movies that we've seen?
Ooh, this is definitely further up there. I want to say it's at least top 20%.
That's a weird way to put it.
I could
percentage ass, like, motherfucker, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, this is like some of the best acting we've seen, I thought.
Because Brenda Song is everything. But also, no.
She's everything, but Danielle Panabaker is also really pretty good.
And Taron Killam has always been good. I don't give a shit what anyone says. But,
no, fully.
But also, like, even from like the side characters, like the friends and the parents, like it was all such higher caliber, especially after like we just watched like the Poof Point, which was
so bad.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like the acting was definitely up there. And I actually felt like, I feel like, you know, in the scenes where there is like some genuine emotion being poured out, I'm like, okay, this is believable. And you're like
serviceable. Yeah.
You're It felt like even Jump In, I would say Jump In is kind of on the same level as this one.
Yeah.
Where you have like, again, another great actor like Corbin Bleu who, yeah, it's a DCOM and it's cheesy and the dialogue might not be great, but like, I feel like they're still giving it their all, which is really commendable considering it's a DCOM and like, you don't have to, but yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
And so then we get into Jordan Runs Away, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's very sad. And then she gets a call from Eddie. And she's like, I'm sorry, I take it all back. I'll give you the phone back. I don't care anymore. I'm done. He's like, well, I wish you would have said that an hour ago because Jordan ran away.
No, my favorite thing is she answers the phone and she immediately just picks up and goes, do not yell at me. And I'm like, relatable.
That is so you.
Oh my God, truly, truly though. I thought that was so funny.
That is really funny. She goes home because she knows she's being tracked or whatever.
Yeah.
And she tries to call Tasha and she doesn't answer because Tasha's there.
She's in her room and they both apologize to each other. And this is when I lost my shit because I was like, no, no, no. You need repercussions for your actions and your words. You stupid ass bitch. Yeah. Oh my God, you just literally lied to your friend and now you're letting her apologize to you? I was so mad.
Yeah.
I was so mad. Anyway, whatever.
But
that's
it's
not
fine.
That's I guess that's not like the central conflict of this movie cuz they move past it in literally 30 seconds and then the management is like chasing them. God, this is such a One Direction insert fanfic. I cannot even handle it.
I know.
But the management
they
is
come to the door,
them.
They try to like bust it down and get them.
No, they don't try to bust it down because they understand it's private property and they can't do that. But
it looks like they're trying to.
My favorite thing is that they're running through the house, through the backyard, through the neighbor's yard. They're screaming at the top,
at
of, their
top
lungs.
Of their lungs.
I was like, what a
I
great
loved
way.
It.
I wrote a reference to a Gilmore Girls quote. I didn't even realize I did it, but I just wrote oi with the screaming already. And I was like, oh.
But yeah, no, I wrote the opposite. I was like, I love the amount of girly screaming in this movie because there's a lot.
I hated it so much. I thought it was so
stupid. I thought it was
stupid.
So funny. I thought it was so funny because I was just like, why are they screaming this much? I don't know. It was just like stupid that they were screaming that much. And I thought it was so funny.
I thought it was a little immature and it's felt like this
it
was movie
just like,
was written
why are
by
you
men
screaming. I don't know. Yeah, kind of.
You know what I mean? Like, because like, listen,
he's like, oh, girls are so screamy, they scream at everything.
Teenage
yeah.
girls are loud, let me tell you. Like, I get it, I'm still loud and I'm a 24-year-old woman. However, it felt really childish in my opinion.
Yeah, it was childish, but I thought it was cute.
Also,
but
like,
then they're running through the neighborhood, like
they
climbing
get on
over
her,
fences.
They get on her mountain bike, and I wrote, in what fucking world does a mountain bike outrun a minivan? Like, I understand those are two very weird things, but how are you outrunning a car?
Hold up, because I want to talk about how we get to the mountain bike.
Okay.
Because they're running through the neighborhood, right? Like, climbing over the fence, like, falling off the fence in a shot I literally remember so vividly. But then they're like running through backyards and they're like about to cross a street when the brother pulls up on the bike and is like, wait, here's your bike. And it's like, how did you get there? You were just at the house. What?
How did he get down? Because he was hanging on the back
he
of the door.
He was hanging on the back of the door. And none of it made any sense.
How did he get up there and how did he get down?
How did he get up? How did he get down? How did he get the bike and get in front of them faster all in that amount of time? It just didn't make any sense. It felt like they ran in a circle on accident.
No, yeah. The brother is actually a wizard.
It's Max.
Yeah, it's young Max. We're crossing universes here. Also,
but there's this terrible moment though while they're running away, where Brenda Song is trying to say something, and there's this monstrous ADR over what she's saying.
Oh, so bad, so bad.
Because she's clearly like panting while she's talking.
Oh yeah,
and it's probably a little hard to understand. So they just have her say it like she's talking normally, like I'm talking right now.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
not at all out of breath, and it was like horrible to watch. Oh, it hurt.
I have a random note. Do we ever find out where these people live, or do they just refer to it as the suburbs?
Just the suburbs.
Okay, great. I just wanted to know.
And then we get a long ass thing of them on the bike.
God, they're on the bike for such a long time.
But I was like, you're having fun with this. They had fun with those bike shots.
They did. Yeah. They were like
a lot of like iconic, familiar shots.
Yeah.
Like twisted, like the, curve, like where they were on different points of the curve and everything.
And they would just like jump cut. And I was like, okay, this is unnecessary, but sure. They meet up with Jordan and...
Well, he goes to the diner. They're supposed to meet him at the park bench. And they get there and he's gone. And they're like, where'd you go? And he's like, I'm two blocks away at a diner. And he's like about to eat a burger. And he's like, oh, I love these things. Because it comes with a little toy. For whatever fucking reason.
Yes.
And it's a bobblehead of himself, which is horrible.
They like meet up with Jordan and they're in their car on the way to the rally or whatever. And he just said, you can't blame the location. You can only blame yourself. And I was like, Jordan, dropping some 22-year-old truth here. Because I just thought of like all the people that I know from like film school who moved to L.A., and who, like, wanted to, like, make it, but they're not doing anything. And I was like, hey, he's talking to you.
It's a very nice moment. And then they switch their phones back.
Yeah.
And then they do this thing where they, like, connect their phones or, remember they, like, point their phones at each other and connect them. But no, they send his version of the song to her. And then... Oh my God.
I'm just making faces at him. He's like, you didn't watch this at all, did you? I have this problem where when we watch the movies, once we get about halfway in, I start really zoning out.
It really makes her a great podcast host for a movie podcast.
Please go
on. It's what qualifies her for the big bucks.
Thank you. Yes.
And then she sends it to all of her friends. But they, all they do is they answer their phone like someone's calling them. They're like, hello? And they listen, and the song is just playing, which is not how that works.
No, not at all.
And then they all scream, of course, and then they call, they each call a friend.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I remember this now.
And then more girls stack up.
Yes.
And then they each call a friend, and then some more of the same girls stack up. And then that keeps happening. There was only like 10 girls in that thing, but pop up the same 10 screens of them listening and screaming.
They just
keep multiplying it.
Yeah, no, they've like done this on multiple occasions in Disney movies, I've noticed. They just kind of
it's so bad. I'm like, you couldn't give like 100 girls like $10 to scream on a phone. They have the conversation that we already talked about where we're like, you should have just been from here.
Yeah.
And then he says something so fucking dumb.
Which is?
The suburbs are a state of mind.
God, he was high. You know he was high.
The suburbs are a state of mind, bro. Like, if you think about it, like, we're all stuck in the suburbs in our mind. Then we're outside the house and, like, the crowd is like, we don't care about your dumb house. Where's Jordan? And that's from a mom.
Yes, I was going to say, the people who are all screaming at Brittany's mom are all other moms. And I'm like, what is your hilarious, problem?
So real, because
so real.
I think about so many moms that we saw at One Direction concerts there with like their 14-year-old children.
And they're being bitches.
Who are being bitches because they're like, I don't want to be here. My daughter is stupid and making me come to this stupid concert. And so I'm going to be a bitch if you're causing me any inconvenience. Sir, you're getting into my spot, sir, you're in my spot.
The Karens
I think you're in
world.
My seat, sir. I think you're in my seat. No, ma'am, you're actually in a different section. Well, that's not my fault, is it?
I wish that, like, it's you were exaggerating. Probably. I wish that you were exaggerating.
No, that's
but you're
very
not.
Real.
But even Britney's friends are, like, so bitchy, and they're like, God, we should just, like, leave.
They're like, I knew she didn't know Jordan. We should just leave.
I wrote, like, at Britney, get new friends. Like, seriously. Jesus Christ.
But it leads to the other best moment of this movie when they do get here and Jordan and Brittany and Natasha all run through right in front of their friends.
Uh-huh.
And the friends are standing there, like, mouth open, like, what? And Natasha comes up and she just closes all of their mouths.
Yes.
And it is like, oh, it is so savage.
It's
and
so
beautiful.
Iconic. It's amazing. What does she say? It's so bitchy, but it's so incredible.
I don't remember. I was just thinking, like, I didn't even write it down because I was so amazed by her closing
just,
her mouth.
Yeah, just the physical action of it is so powerful. I loved it. And then once Jordan starts singing, I thought it was funny. We get, like, the second montage of all these things that have already happened in the movie.
A very similar montage with just the added clips of them running away.
Yes. Like, stuff that literally happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I was even sooner than the first montage.
Yeah, I was like, this is super unnecessary, but okay, sure.
And then I had a question.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm stupid.
Yeah. Maybe
it's
you are.
It's more likely you are.
Probably.
Why would this ruin his career at all?
Like, just being at the rally?
Yes. Because the manager guy is like, you have to stop him. You can't let him do this. If he does this, we're done. We're ruined. Why?
Is it because he's playing his own music?
Maybe, but like, what fan doesn't fucking love hearing their favorite musician do an acoustic set?
Acoustic. That's what you said. It's fine. Moving on.
I acoustic you of being a bitch.
Guilty. Maybe it was for, like, legal reasons. Maybe he, like, legally wasn't allowed to promote his own stuff for any reason, and that's what they saw it as. I don't know. I think
it was
just
weak to me. I was like,
I think ultimately it is weak writing, and it's just them being like, oh, management sucks and screw corporate America, which, like, you're right. But I feel like it was just that, and then, you know, cashing in on the fact that this is children's content and they don't have to make it that complex, and they wanted to make it about, like, squashing your internal monologue and squashing your creativity. So
also,
that's what I thought.
This, at this point, when he's singing, they're playing a studio version of the track.
Oh,
like
that? No, see, that's what I thought too. Because I was like, "Where are these drums coming from?" But there are musicians on the lower level playing with him.
Are there backup singers too? Because there are backup vocals.
Oh, I don't know. I saw drums and then an accompanying guitar. So
yeah,
I
saw the guitar. I don't know. Maybe there was like a setup, but it was like I was like, I don't know about this one.
I don't know. I agreed. I was like, ooh, this is not an acoustic version. And then I saw that and I was like, I don't know how much. I mean, like, obviously, yeah, it's a studio version.
Obviously, but
it's a DCOM. But yeah, I didn't read that much into it.
Yeah,
and then
that's
we
fair.
After this, like, I guess the
movie ends.
No, the movie does not end. Because
well,
then
the movie ends and then we have the epilogue.
Yes, the epilogue is that this 14-year-old girl is like, I'm going to say it's like 6 months later, right? Which for some reason they're still...
Probably. It feels like 6 months later because the house is restored and like things are good.
Yes.
Natasha's now on the soccer team with them all.
Yes, which is stupid. That's so not her brand.
She wouldn't play soccer.
Absolutely
she was
not.
Bad at it and hated it.
Yeah, she hated it so much, but whatever. She fits in now. She fits in with the crowd and everyone is being their unique self. And... Mm-hmm. Brittany is on the phone with Jordan and she's like, come to NYC for the weekend? Oh, I don't know. Things are really busy here. And I'm like, what the fuck is a 22-year-old man doing inviting this 14-year-old minor to New York City for the weekend? Jordan, what the fuck is your problem?
This is what I'm fucking saying is like, she was 14, maybe 15 at the most.
She was in eighth grade.
At the most.
She was in eighth grade. That was clear.
Depending on the time skip, it could have been that she was 15. You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. As at the most, she's 15 and he is 22. And even then, maybe 23. So like, it is so fucking weird because they say, she says it so casually, right? And she's like, oh, come up for the weekend? I don't know. It's pretty busy. Which to me implies that she has definitely done it before.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it is, you didn't know that was fucked up. This is our segment. You didn't know that was fucked up. And it is this, and it is like, we could do a whole entire hour on it because it is crazy.
Because like, but also even me, like, okay, I'm 24. In this scenario, he's, I guess, would be 23 at this point. What the fuck do I have in common with a Gen Z person right now? That sounds mean. What the fuck do I have in common with a 15-year-old? Like, I cannot think of anyone that I could have even like a 20-minute conversation with in that age range currently.
I cannot talk to a 20-year-old anymore.
I worked for a fucking 16-year-old. She was the dumbest person I've ever met. Like, I could not talk to her ever.
I, like, can't. Like, physically, I'm trying, like, if you ever try to talk to one, it's like, whoa, I don't know.
Like, what the hell are you guys conversing about? Are you sitting together and writing songs? Cool. That's intimate, and that's disgusting.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. You didn't know that was fucked up.
And this has been You Didn't Know That Was Fucked Up. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into You Didn't Know That Was Fucked Up. But yeah, they all rush into the house. To watch the new music video.
We've come full circle, everybody. There's a new music video. And plot twist, it was the exact same music video that Jordan was filming at the top of the movie. But alternate plot twist, Eddie is the new pop star. What? They literally were like, you're so replaceable. Let's fucking show you.
What is it trying to say? I don't understand.
Like, because that was like, not Eddie's dream all along.
No. And it's like, it doesn't, I don't, I truly, like, I'm trying to decipher it, and I'm like, what do they mean?
I don't know. All I know is that song is a goddamn bop. And I was like, is this on Spotify?
This song is fine. The real bop is the song that plays during the credits.
Take me away. Jump in the car.
It just runs out, and we can walk so far that we can.
That's Chelsea from That's So Raven. Did you know
that? It's Annalise Vanderpool. Yes. Yeah.
I love that you know her full name. Oh my god, Stuck in the Suburbs, the whole soundtrack is on Spotify.
Yep, I know that too.
Oh, but okay, so just really quick, I want to talk about this. On the Spotify playlist, it has Hayley Duff, Jesse McCartney, Annalise Vanderpool, and then four songs just say Jordan Cahill.
I know, I saw.
Well, also, like, Drew Seeley was in this movie.
I don't think it was Taryn Killam.
It was probably Drew Seeley.
You think?
Maybe. He did the vocals for Zac Efron in High School Musical.
Yeah, I know. I'm
cultured. You're cultured. I know. Sorry. I'm anyway.
Alive.
They do the choreography for this music video at the end that they're also in, knocking over the couch in cleats, a fucking gin, clearly not maturing in any way, shape, or form. Gross. Okay, so overall, final thoughts for this movie. Go.
Oh, it was so good.
It was incredible. Thank you for agreeing.
It was so much fun. I loved it. It was so much fun.
This is the first movie where, like, I was snarking on it, but I didn't, like, actively hate anything about it.
I don't think I mean, there's been others that I was, like, cool with and didn't want to stop, but I don't know.
Well, the first one in a while. No, Jump In. Yeah, sorry. Jump In was so good. Like,
yeah, Jump In was really good.
I don't know. It's one of those, this was, like, an all-time favorite for me, and I was happy that it's definitely better than I remember.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I was really happy about that.
It holds up, I think. It's so relevant, unfortunately.
It will always be relevant for you and I.
What it tells me is it's like, we were not unique. You know what I mean? Like, this same thing has been happening, and that's oddly comforting.
Can I tell a story? It's a short story. I remember in eighth grade, I don't think you and I were in the same class, but Mrs. Peach was telling us about the Beatles and how girls would, like, scream and cry when they saw the Beatles, like, on the TV or in person or whatever, and she was, like, impersonating them. And I remember sitting there being like, that is so fucking dumb. And I went, like, flash forward 2-3 years, and that's literally what I did. And I'm just kind of like, you know what? This is something that's been going on for generations.
Yeah.
So,
really,
like,
has.
Let's have more DCOMs about it.
I think that is, honestly, that is what it boils down to for this movie being, like, holding up so well.
Yeah, because, like, obviously, like, we're not the first generation to be like, oh my god, I hope that this were to happen with insert celebrity name here, whatever. Like, people have literally always been thinking about these things.
Yeah, that's a smart lesson. I think that that is Thank something you. That I wasn't, no, what?
I came up
not,
with
not
it.
Not you.
Shut up. I wanted to take the credit.
I taught myself this lesson. You guys, tell your friends. We're sorry we took that break there in a bit.
I know, I'm sorry.
Bess was literally dying.
Yeah. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't sit up for like 3 days.
It didn't turn out how we wanted, but she's here. And, you know, I guess we have to be thankful for that.
Still kicking. You guess? All right, we're done with the podcast. Goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, guys. make sure to follow us on all our social medias.
We are on Twitter at Worse Podcast, WORSE, and on Instagram at Worse Than You Remember.
Yes, and if you would give us a rating and a review of our podcast on iTunes and Spotify, that would super help us out. You know, the more ratings and reviews we get, the more people like us, I guess. I don't know. It just feels good to be loved, and yes, I want to know.
I live for that approval.
How you feel. And like, I'll take a rating, but if you feel like dropping a review, that would also get me a little excited. I don't know.
Yes.
I would like that.
I would take all the reviews. I
yeah,
live.
Because, I mean, ratings are easy. You tap the number and yeah. you're there.
If you're not but leaving review, a rating, you're lazy.
Okay, don't insult our fans.
I'm sorry. I was trying to do the good cop, bad cop thing. Did it backfire?
All cops are bastards, so.
We have to stop doing this before you get too political.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Love you. All right. Now let's hit record.